All right, Sharp and Betting in the Morning, our good friend from Husker 24/7. And boy, they are busy with all the recruiting stuff going on.
There's no doubt about
it. Into the offseason, it's Brian Christopherson. Good morning, BC.
Good morning, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little tired this morning, but Twins are playing good ball. I'm not going to dwell on that because I know nobody cares.
No.
19 people, but
No. Target Field deserves to have good baseball played by the hometown team, and they're fun to watch. They have a loose clubhouse. They've been able to manage all of these injuries and players coming and going. I think things are good right now with the Twins up 4.5.
Did I hear your voice on my Twins app the other day calling a Royce Lewis home run?
Yes, I did. It was that was the first at bat after he returned from Minnesota. He hit a home run against the Storm Chasers.
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't expect it. I'm an MLB subscriber, and I clicked on the thing, and there's like that's my guy. Call him Royce, my other guy. That was a nice little combination of things.
Hey, BC. Like, realistically, and I know you don't really know until a kid says he's leaving or not, but, you know, the scholarship limit's obviously going to increase. 85 is still going to be the number. You still have, super seniors and guys that have been in school 4 years but only played twice. Like, realistically, how long do you think it would take you to sit down and truly get your arms around roster management?
Like, if I'm a coach, like, trying to handle it, you're talking?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's ridiculously hard in this day and age. You're trying to do everything you can to win. Got all this pressure on. And the COVID eligibility freeze added a quirk to it, where you were kind of loading up some guys for a while there, too. I think there's got to be, there's tough conversations that have to go on. And, I think guys also sometimes have to read the writing on the wall in this day and age and know, maybe when their time is done at a program or when to move on. And that's sort of just part of the kind of the strange environment we're in now, with the portal and all this stuff. But, it is no question, a very difficult thing to do. You know, it was about two or three guys ago, I had Nebraska as a one in, one out situation, mm-hmm. basically with their scholarship numbers.
Yeah.
Doing the math. Yeah. There's two or three that it feels like have to go. And then maybe a couple more if there's some more additions.
So with this new NCAA for the next couple of cycles, the scholarship freedom, and I think it really helps new coaches that come in, and they can rework the roster quicker than they could if the previous sanctions, or not sanctions, but the structure was in place. But what does it do to the time period of a player and his development? Have we shortened it down to say, hey, if he's not moving up the depth chart by the year and a half, then we've got to maybe look and help that person out and move them somewhere else out of our program and get somebody in here. What do you think the timeline for development looks like? If you're one of those players, like, for example, the Weavers, the Buckleys, the Blacks, the backup defensive tackles that we spent a lot of time talking about in the last 5 weeks.
Shoot, you got secondary.
Yeah, I think it sped it up. And I think the player has to understand that. And also, I mean, these guys want to play too. So there's got to be that part where you're having an open conversation and you're like, this is where you're at. This is where you need to get in the next year or so. You see that, right? And I think most guys, the film's not going to lie to them after practice setups when they're watching it with their peers, who's excelling and who's not. It's just got to be candid the whole process through. But it is interesting, those days of, that guy who maybe you don't hear about for 3 years, and then suddenly the fourth year pops up and he's a starter in your trenches. I think those stories will still exist, but they're just becoming fewer and fewer, it feels like. And I still appreciate when those things do happen. But in those cases, I have to think those guys are climbing in some way behind the scenes. If you're not doing that at all, I do think there's going to be it's going to be a quicker hook, just to be blunt about it, with certain guys. And I mean, the good thing is I think coaches communicate well across the country now about certain players. And if you're looking out for guys, you're still trying to get players in good situations. You know what I mean? Like if a guy isn't working out in a specific program, but you think there's a place where he could go play or get some reps like that, I think that the lines have become pretty open between college coaches when they're talking about portal guys now. And at first, maybe it was a little bit more like, you know, we're all kind of competitors here. Do we put up a wall? But, you know, just talking to a couple coaches about it, I think guys are more open to it. You know, they want to see players succeed in the end. So hopefully it works out for those guys. But, yeah, it's a quicker – things go quicker. And, I mean, even Mickey Joseph said that about his wide receivers. You know, this spring, like, you know, it's not just going to be you're standing in place for 2 or 3 years. That's just not the way it works at big time programs.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just trying to think, excuse me, parse through it in my head. If, you know, especially going into this season, what Nebraska was having to do with their roster and patch holes, and you have the pressure of winning now. And now I'm starting to think, being overseas kind of complicated it, because I think you'd like to be more in a routine, but maybe there's a peace of mind in terms of getting away where it's just about you without some of the other distractions, if in fact they can make it a business trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Could be. I mean, I've kind of gone on the mind like this is a strange trip. It would be anyway. I mean, I liked it when they first announced they were going to Dublin. But as you sort of see where Nebraska football is and you know how critical this game is, it's just such a bizarre thing to fly across the pond, play a game, and, you know, have to be so dialed in. It's not like – it can't really be like a bowl trip. It does have to be a business setup. You've got to have new players who understand that along with the guys who have been here a few years. And, I mean, that's going to be the big question now. You've got all these new parts, and they are – it's kind of exciting when you look at the different things they've added at spots and you're like, oh, that can work and that can work, but it's got to mesh really quickly. And that's going to be a challenge. And Scott Frost has been candid in a couple interviews that says they kept it very simple throughout the spring on offense. So whatever they got done, they didn't go too deep into too many chapters into the book, it didn't seem like, with a lot of stuff. So there's a lot ahead in these next few months, and there's a lot riding on the summer too, behind the scenes with QBs and wide receivers and definitely being on the same page and all that stuff. I mean, it's got to be a daily commitment from everybody who's going to be your main guys, because that game is, I mean, we saw last year, it was like the college football season hadn't even started. And there was just this overcast. It was a storm over Husker football after that week zero loss. You just can't afford that.
Brian Christopherson joining us here on Sharp and Betting in the Morning. You know, as the win totals are rolling out, and then Bill Connolly comes out with his metric yesterday from ESPN, the FPI Plus, he has Nebraska projected to be second to the Big Ten West. He's very high on Nebraska, has them 35th in the country. And we're starting to see some other metrics that are pretty high on Nebraska. I think us around here, there's still a lot of great unknowns that we didn't get from spring ball. We think maybe some guys here and there will flash when the season starts, but uncomfortable, there's still a lot of unknowns to go, okay, Nebraska's going to be blank. Why do you think a Bill Connolly and his computer and some other people are high on Nebraska? What about this season would make them say, oh, Nebraska's an 8-9 win team?
I think because the metrics and computer systems are going to tell them that last year's Nebraska team was more like a 6 or 7 win team. And just by, you know, you put it all together, all these stats and stuff like that, and you think about all the bizarre ways they lost some games and how close they were losing 8 of 9 games by one score. The fact they went toe-to-toe with Michigan and had the ball with 2 minutes left with the chance to win. You know, Ohio State, you're on the 10-yard line with 9 minutes left, and if you score there, you're ahead of the Buckeyes, you know. And so I think they look at how close they were last year, the schedule, at least on the surface, and this is a dangerous conversation because you never know who's going to be what when the actual season starts. But yes, it does look a little bit more approachable this year with the crossover games and stuff like that. And I just think the data points, they would skew that way. And at the same time, I totally understand. I say this every time this comes up, but the Nebraska fans are going to be like, okay, that's nice, but we'll leave that over there, a little out of reach for now. I want to see it with my own eyes, and that makes complete sense to me. So, you know, there used to be a time several years ago where those win-loss totals would come out in the offseason, and Nebraska fans would get kind of fired up and think they're too low.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of the – sometimes I hear people go the other way. They're like, what are you talking about? You know, 7.5 or whatever the number is, that's way too high. So, I mean, Nebraska fans, I think, have really developed a skepticism as sort of an armor to put around them before a season starts after what they've seen the last few years.
B, where does your gut lead if you're looking for a favorite in the West?
You know, I haven't gone through the rosters inside and out, so it's a little bit of a blind guess by me. I think Wisconsin is always sort of like the, even though I know they've kind of taken a step back, I kind of always go back to them when I'm unsure, and I just feel like somehow, some way, more times than not, they find a consistency, and obviously they have a running back who's very good. I don't think he's still 17 years old, as I remember hearing like every week last year was his age. But, you know, he's obviously a very talented guy, and they know what they're doing. I do think there's a little bit of a disruption up there. It feels like they're not quite rolling down the highway like they have maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So I think there's an opening right now for other teams in the West. Iowa is – you know, they're going to be solid. They just are. They're always that solid team that can be right there within a game of the race and could turn it their way. But the thing with them is, are they going to be able to reproduce sort of the magic they had last year? I felt with their defense and the turnovers, and they're usually very good at special teams, but can they duplicate that? Because if you talk about Nebraska's metrics and why they're getting the, you know, such good preseason reviews, you know, Iowa on a lot of metrics probably not that great last year, you know, when you think about their offensive production and stuff like that. So they have to get the turnovers and all that stuff to come along again. But I think Nebraska, I understand why people put Nebraska like, you know, third, maybe. That's probably where I would position them right now. I think they got a fighting shot to be right in it, but I'm also I would not dare make Nebraska the favorite at this point, or I just don't have the guts to do that.
Recruiting, because we are in the middle of the summer recruiting, and again, the list they are compiling to get people on campus this time of the year is pretty impressive. If you had to send in one assistant coach to be the closer to seal the deal on a portal guy or a high school commitment, what assistant coach are you choosing right now to go be the closer?
Oh, man, that's a good question. it's probably Mickey or Bill. I guess Mickey. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mickey Joseph, it just seems like he has such a connection with guys, like, from the first conversation. But I'll tell you what, I mean, I did a thing with Bill Bush last week, and we're going to write more about it in the next couple of days. But, I mean, you look at Bill's track record, Bill Bush has probably as good a resume as you're going to find about with most assistants in this country. So it's one of those two guys is my answer. But I think to kind of broaden it out, I think what they've got going right now with some of those new hires is those guys really get Nebraska a good foundation before they get them into Lincoln, you know, with the, with like even what Brian Applewhite's doing down in Texas. And then Bill Bush was, you know, setting the concrete sort of for him, I think, like in the Kansas City area and stuff like that. So when Caden Green and Dylan Edwards and Jaden Doss got here this weekend, you know, they already have a really strong impression of Nebraska because you got like one of the top-notch recruiters in the country talking to them, you know, to kind of set it up. And so they've got a good thing working with recruiting right now. I really feel confident about their ads. I think they have improved their staff greatly with recruiting. And even Donovan Raiola is a really interesting type of recruiter because I was asking Caden Green, the four-star lineman, about his visit, and he was saying how Donovan – he said, you can tell he's a new college coach, and he meant this in a compliment. He was saying how he's not like the most, basically, I guess you'd say, like, polished guy or whatever, you know. He's not the most glossy guy, but he's, you just know what he says is who he is. Like, what you see is what you get type of thing, and what you're seeing on that recruiting visit is what you're going to get when he coaches you, he thought. And he really liked that. Like, he gravitated toward just sort of that, not trying to overdo it and be somebody you're not as a recruiter and be fake. And so I think Donovan Raiola can probably get something done with that, just judging by, you know, the comments of a guy like Caden Green, who would be a huge pickup. It's going to be a tough fight, but if Nebraska could land him, that will be as big as any recruit in this cycle.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Well, he's a
with
large
his size.
Man.
Woo.
I mean, when he put out his photo of him standing there the other day, you're like, man, that guy's a 17-year-old. It was hard to believe.
Yep. BC, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, holiday weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, B.
Brian Christopherson. Yeah, Caden Green, large individual.
Big dude.
I mean, him next to Donovan is like watching Aaron Judge drink from a normal water bottle yesterday in the dugout, where his hand was much larger than the bottle. All right, coming up, speaking of hands largeness and you like your meats, it is time to guess Damon's meat. Your chance to win today, we're going to give away a griddle. So start dialing now, 951-1620. You have to guess Damon's meat to win a griddle from Sharp and Benning in the Morning. 951-1620, we'll do that next.
The Connor Happer Show.
These are the quarterbacks that they've got committed just under Ryan Day. Quinn Ewers, who was the number one quarterback in the class of 2021. He's since transferred out.
Quinn?
Yeah.
I don't like that name for a quarterback. Quinn, not strong enough. But please, proceed.
Excuse me, Quinn?
Quinn?
Yeah, get over it. He's going to be the quarterback at Texas this year.
Oh, no shot.
He's like the highest rated quarterback of all time.
3-9 confirmed.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on 1620, The Zone.
Oh, that weather. It's going to cooperate, don't you worry, right? It is grilling season. So whether you're tailgating or getting ready to have some fun outdoors on one of those cooking devices that you have, your grill game needs buns. How about Rotella's buns, brat buns, hamburger buns, hot dog buns, brioche? They've got you covered. Rotella's, their versatility, gosh, that's just part of it. The other part? How about the quality ingredients, right? The love touch that they put. And then they blend it with kind of the new science technologies. It allows Rotella's to flourish. So from Memorial Day to that great big baseball tournament down the street to Father's Day, if you're going to be out cooking and you got to get that protein game right, you need buns. Visit rotellasbakery.com. It's 100 years. A little over 100 years of great quality tradition. Great taste. It's Rotella's Italian breads, rolls, and buns.
Your Omaha area forecast from Knoyer Garden.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.